On the Wednesday of our trip to Brussels, five of the engaged London delegation had the opportunity to visit the European Parliament. They were myself, Alan Mesa-Wright, and Diana Sorenli from City University, and from the Pillion Trust, Favour Akengwu, Naomi Gahi, and Charlie Chibangu. We met with Julie Ward, a Labour Party MEP representing the northwest of England. Julie spoke with us at length about her unorthodox route into politics, Brexit, and some of the causes she most cares about. Here is some of our conversation.
I won the election in the northwest of England in 2014. I'm a Labour MEP and I won a seat back for Labour. I stood against the racist, fascist, Nazi Holocaust denier, Mick Griffin, the BNP party, kicked him out of Parliament. So for me, it was a very important campaign. It was a very important win, because a lot of my campaigning was with organisations like Stand Up to Racism, with Hope Not Hate, with Unite Against Fascism. We couldn't have done what we did in the 2014 election to get rid of Nick Griffin if we'd done it by ourselves. We actually needed to work with grassroots campaigning organisations. I'd never been in politics before. I'd only been in the Labour Party 18 months when I got on the list. So my story is not usual, okay? I'm a bit of an accidental politician. I put my name down because I was really agitated and worried about the right-wing press in our country and about their narrative on Europe. It wasn't my experience of Europe. I spent a lot of time before I was elected, in fact, 30 years, for the 30 years before I came into politics, I was working in the arts. I'm a theatre maker, I'm a poet, I'm a writer. I'd been using culture as a tool for social change. I wanted to defend the Europe that I believe is possible, right? I mean, Brexit is a complete disaster. It's not just, I mean, you're nodding, see, you know, you're not British, and this is interesting. It's not just a disaster for British young people, okay? Brexit is a disaster for anybody who believes in progressive socialism and a better future. Europe is new, it's very young, you know? It's evolved out of two terrible world wars where, you know, you guys would, if you guys were alive then, you know, your future was, right, go off and fight and lay down your life for your, you know, for your country, but more to stop fascism across Europe. We can never, ever go back to that. And so the EU is a mechanism to prevent that again, never again. And the mechanism is, how can we ensure that we are talking to each other rather than fighting each other? We need to trade with each other. If we're trading with each other, then we're not going to fight each other. The only people who make money in a war trading with each other is people who are selling military arms and bombs and war weapons and weapons of destruction, okay? The rest of the economic activities that any of us want to engage in cannot survive in war. So I believe that the trading bloc that grew out of those discussions post-war was actually the scaffolding around which you can build a peace project. But there are people who don't get the peace bit. They just think we're a single market, we're a trade organisation. For me, that was the scaffolding. And in a way, the EU's lost its... I mean, it's never... It doesn't speak loudly enough about why it was set up. It does, and lots of people have kind of forgotten that. They've forgotten the war. There's a kind of collective amnesia at the minute, I think. So we need to revisit all the reasons why the EU exists, why it's important that we have common rules about things, why it's important that we have people from different countries coming together to try and come to a common agreement, because that's our work essentially as MEPs. We sit in a circle and we talk until we agree, and most of us agree. We're in a parliament of 751 people from 28 different countries working in 24 different languages, and most of the time we agree with each other. And we're from abroad, we're from lots of different political groups, but we do come to common agreement. And actually, as a socialist, I'm on the left in the party as a socialist, and I'm one of the most active MEPs in terms of tabling amendments. Most of my amendments are passed in the parliament. They're passed. It's extraordinary. This narrative you have back home about how we're not effective here, we are really effective in what we're doing. We're not making a lot of legislation. Most of what we do is policy recommendations. The member states still have their, still have their competences, which means that, it's only in certain areas where the EU has power really to make law. It's, I think, only about 13% of British laws are actually EU. Maybe more in other countries. Some EU laws are about olive trees. Well, we don't grow olive trees, okay? So, when people like Nigel Farage say, oh, it's like 87% of laws are made in the EU. Well, the laws about olive trees don't apply to us, Nigel. So, And lots of people go, oh, but you politicians and you political parties, you're all the same, or, I like Labour, but. And my point at the end of the day is, I like Labour, but. I have a but about Labour, but you have to at the end of the day go, what is the thing that I will care about most? And I care about social justice more than I care about anything else. I probably care about social justice at the minute more than I care about Brexit, and that's a bit sad for me. I do think that Brexit will risk social justice, so I'm currently in a position in my party where I am fronting a Left Against Brexit speaking tour, trying to persuade my party to not do Brexit, because at the minute we're not tough enough on the Tories, okay? In the Education and Culture Committee, one of the things that I work on is citizenship, one is media. Youth policy is also part of it, children's rights part of it. Actually, I co-founded a children's rights group here in the European Parliament. It didn't exist before. But through the work that I do on children's rights, I met an amazing woman called Elise. She's Dutch-Norwegian, and she really cares about media literacy and about young people's voices. And she'd been brought up in a family of newspaper owners in Norway. And she's established an amazing house for children's rights in Amsterdam. And she's working with children and children's rights organisations and youth organisations. She set up an organisation called the International Child Press Centre. Okay, you need to get in touch with them. You need to see what they're doing. It's extraordinary. They are basically working with children and young people to give them the skills, the resources, and the relationship, to give them the skills and resources to be journalists and to interrogate the truth, okay? But also to build bridges with decision makers and policy makers. So I've become one of the elected people that works really closely with her organisation to talk and give my time to young people, which is how I met Luke, because I went to a conference they had in Amsterdam, and right. Told my story a little bit, maybe not in the way I did today, but I told my story a little bit. I was there for a Q&A, and he sat at the front and he asked me lots of hard questions. And one of the answers was, I can't remember what the question was, but I said, come and job shadow me. Because you were a bit like, why doesn't anybody know what an MEP does? Or why is the European Parliament so, why is the EU so difficult to understand? Well, it's not, actually.
This has been Engage London speaking to Julie Ward MEP. To find out more about our Hear Me Speak project and the trip to Brussels, please visit engagelondon.blog. Thank you for listening.